Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Ask the experts about free fitting on all our kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So you walk through the turnstile and you buy the programme, you take your seat and the ball is thrown in. But what are you doing with that programme in your hand? Is it tightly rolled up? Is it written on? Do you keep it as pristine as you can because you want to keep it for posterity? Well, one man who's been tracking and collecting them is John Kelly, and he's the author of the book, The GAA Covered, which is a beautiful tome. I have it here in front of me. And John's in front of me too. John, you're very welcome.
Good morning, Claire.
Thanks for coming in. Lovely to have you here. This was a labour, certainly, but a labour of love, really, for you. You love programmes, do you?
Yeah, absolutely, Claire. I've been collecting them since childhood, and I suppose to try and find the ultimate collection was the aim of the book, to see what was out there, to find what programmes could be accumulated. So that was the inspiration behind it, really.
So tell me about the job of trying to find them. I'm sure you've plenty of them yourself, right?
Yeah, I do, Claire. I would estimate to have about maybe 40% of what's in the book, so that left a substantial amount to be gathered up. The problem is that there isn't a single archive that contains all of the programmes. So trying to, first of all, identify what was available. You know, some programmes in the early stages may never have been printed or haven't survived the journey through time. So, and then to identify the collectors that have the programmes and to convince them to let me into their homes and get copies of the programmes for the book.
And these things are worth a lot, aren't they? Some of them, the further you go back.
Yeah, they are, Claire. There are kind of maybe a couple of stages. Back to 1975, the programmes are relatively easy to get and inexpensive. Back to about 1945, then they become a little bit more expensive, up into the hundreds of euros possibly. But once you go back to 1920s and the 1910s, a couple of years ago, the earliest programme sold for up to 8,000 euro at auction. So they can become quite expensive, yeah.
And for people going to a match, and I don't know if you can judge this because you're such a fan of programmes, are they still as important to people as they were?
I would say to Ireland has a very print-rich tradition, and people enjoy having the hard copy in their hands at the match. I kind of think that there are three types of people that go to the match: the people that are blissfully unaware of the programme or don't want it. There are the people that will buy it and, you know, it might sit in the boot of the car before heading to the recycling bin. And then there are the people that might, like myself, that'll bring it home and keep it forever, you know.
Hold on to them.
Yeah, but I think they still are very, very much important to the match going public.
And how much are the programmes now?
An All-Ireland final match programme at the moment costs €8. In comparison to, say, a Six Nations match or an Irish international soccer match, they're about €10. And in England, maybe an FA Cup final is about £10 sterling. So it's quite inexpensive.
Now, how did you choose which ones to put in here and which ones to leave out? Because you know you'll get complaints now. I had one, as I bought the book home with me, and there was a complaint from my Leitrim husband about something missing from the 90s. And I thought, haven't you little to be doing? But you'll get that, won't you?
Yeah, yeah.
You're ready for it.
Yeah, the GAA has so many competitions and so many grades that I decided to focus on the All-Ireland final programmes and the provincial final programmes. And, you know, other than that, the book would become unwieldy, too big. So I decided to focus on those. And, you know, hopefully there's somebody in there for everybody. A lot of counties are represented. So
yeah,
hopefully people will enjoy it.
Were you mindful of that, though, that every county needed to get a look in?
I think so. Unfortunately, with getting provincial to provincial finals and All-Ireland finals, success on the pitch dictated a lot of what made it into it. So some counties will be overrepresented, the stronger counties, obviously. My own county of Carlow, unfortunately, reached three Leinster finals in the 40s and there wasn't a programme printed for
really?
Any of them. So, you
Isn't
know, maybe just
a pity?
Yeah, it may be just that a programme wasn't printed on a particular day or, as I said, hasn't survived the journey through time. So
that's such a pity, because back then I would imagine they were critical, really, to the game and to the people who were going to the match. They were like the newspaper. That's where you got your information about who was on the pitch and so on.
Absolutely. Going to the match, especially in the early days, you mightn't have known who was playing. So the programme provided the information, about the officials, times, dates, and who was playing, obviously. Yeah.
So go back now and tell us a bit about the history of the programmes, because they looked very different when they started compared to now.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I suppose in the early days, and that's one of the features of the book, is that you can trace the evolution of the programme from the single fold-over sheet to the massive full-colour production that's available on All-Ireland Final Day now. There were obviously a much smaller production back then, and production techniques have improved over the years to include colour covers, colour photographs, glossy pages and things like that. So, you know, they have changed quite a bit over the years.
So colour came along in the 40s, was it?
Yeah, colour covers in the 40s, Claire, and black and white photographs and the interior in the 40s. I think it was the 1970s then before they got colour photographs into the interior of the programme. And it was relatively recently, the end of the 1980s, before it became a full colour glossy programme.
Right, so they probably came into their own then, did they?
Yeah.
70s, 80s.
Yeah, certainly the 1970s was, a change, because the advent of the souvenir programme came in the mid 70s. Prior to that, as you say, they were ephemeral. They were designed like newspapers to be discarded after reading. But people like Jack Mann and Connacht and Brendan McLuhan, Clare Mann, working in Croke Park in the 60s, you know, really improved the programmes and made them much more enjoyable to have and to read.
And is there a community of collectors now that you tapped into to get this done, this put together?
Yeah, there's a wonderful community. I was just checking a WhatsApp group before I came in there. We've about 70 members in a WhatsApp group, and hoping to see some of them tonight at the launch. But you'd be surprised, Claire, how many people contacted me when they knew the book was coming out to say, "Oh, I have a few of those in my cupboard at home or in the wardrobe at home," you know. Mm-hmm. So I think it's something that people, especially if their own county have been playing, they like to keep the programme. And
so, John, when you got that call to say, "I might have a few of them," what would you do? Get into the car?
Yeah, that's exactly what I did. Obviously, I was keeping a kind of a database to see what was available. And I would, literally jump into the car. There was one particular day I went over to Mayo and scanned a few of the programmes and came back home. It's about a 7-hour round trip from home, and I got home to discover I'd actually forgotten to scan one of them when I was there, so I literally jumped in the car and went back again.
Oh, you see, that's everyone's worst nightmare. That's the radio journalist who forgets to press record on the device. That's happened to us all. A question for you from a listener. In 2020, Dublin versus Mayo, the All-Ireland, of course, was behind closed doors, and this listener wants to know, were many or any programmes produced for that game?
Yeah, the COVID years are particularly difficult, Claire, because obviously with no attendances at the matches, there was a limited amount of programmes printed, and they were some of them were distributed at the match, a very small amount. Now, some were available online. The printers are DBA. I think they're based in Blackrock, and they printed a certain amount that were available for purchase online. Some of them may have sold out. The Leinster hurling final of 2020 is notoriously difficult to get now. But if you, I would suggest trying the DBA website to see if you could locate one there.
So with the advent of digital now, are people less inclined to buy and produce the programmes?
The digital thing is certainly causing a change. Not so much in Ireland. A certain amount of soccer clubs in England have switched over completely to digital programmes. To the likes of myself, they're not much use, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
You can't collect digital.
Yeah.
But
especially if it's, you know, if it's a special day out, and you know, for many people who would be going to a Premiership match from here, it's a special day out, isn't it? And you want to have a memento of the game. So it's a shame, really, that they're gone or they're going.
Yeah, it is. It is like, but luckily in Ireland, there's still a good tradition of the hard copy match program, and I don't think that's going to change anytime soon in Ireland, in the GAA anyway. You know,
right. And at what level does the program come into the game? You know, when do you start seeing it? You know, what stage?
I suppose for all championship matches, they're there at the moment. You know, any inter-county match will always have
You'll
a program.
Get one.
At club level, within the individual counties, I think they're getting better at it. I know a lot of the collectors throughout the country will always collect their own county final programs, and a lot of effort goes into the county final programs, which are fantastic productions. I know in my own county, again, Carlow, we do a wonderful county final program. So, you know, I suppose at that level, sometimes at juvenile level as well, you'll get the A4 printed sheet, which is always lovely for parents to see their youngster's name on a programme early in play.
Is it still a revenue raiser, or is it a cost?
I would say it's probably a cost. And I think that's why some of the counties might, you know, switch to a digital program, because it is a cost saving thing. But, you know, a lot will depend on the attendance as well, Claire. And again, you know, what people decide they're going to buy a program. But I think especially for a county final, you know, for a club that hasn't been in it for a while, it's great to see the local names in the program.
So tell us about your favourite. Is it possible to have a favourite now?
Yeah, what's my favourite child? I do have a particular favourite. I a couple of years ago I was lucky enough to get the 1947 All-Ireland Football Final program. It's the only All-Ireland final to be played outside of Ireland. It was played in the Polo Grounds in New York. And the programme itself, it's just a lovely programme. It's completely different to the other programmes from the 1940s. Mm-hmm. It's a larger programme. It's more in volume. There's a kind of a lovely embossed feel to the cover, but also there's a lovely musty smell of it that just makes it smell old. And it's kind of very evocative, you know.
Do you know, was that produced in the United States?
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
that's produced. Probably what gave it its edge,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. So they're difficult to find. They're difficult to get your hands on, but I was lucky enough to get my hands on one, and it's still very much my mm-hmm. favourite.
So have you a follow-on now plan? Because I have somebody here who says, I have a selection of old programmes, including early Aussie rules games. I don't know if that's an invitation now, John, for you to go and check out what that person has. But I'm sure there's lots of other disciplines that you could look at.
Yeah, there's a... I suppose depending on how the book goes, but there are a lot of things. I think... one of the things I'd like to have a look at maybe next would be the ladies, the LGFA and the Camogie programmes.
Great
I think
idea.
There's certainly a story to be told there, and they probably might not have got as much coverage as they deserve. So I think that might be an interesting one. Certainly I have a nice collection of the Aussie rules ones as well, and at home, and it could be something, certainly. Yeah.
Right, well I expect to see you in your car crisscrossing the country before too long again. But John, this is a really lovely book for anyone who's interested in these game programmes collections. It's called The GAA Covered, The History of the GAA in Match Programmes by John Kelly. It's being launched tonight, so it's out now.
Down at the Palatine Clubhouse in Carlow. Claire,
great. Well, enjoy it. Have a great night with all of your pals and the fellow collectors. And thank you very much for coming in to see us, John.
Thanks very much,
Very
Claire.
Best of
enjoy
luck
it.
With
thank
it.
You.
That's John Kelly.